Yesterday, a few of us made the choice to go over to Littlehampton, to the Quaker Meeting House, to say farewell, in our sense, to Graham Wall. I'm reminded of during that service how different people spoke and how they spoke so wonderfully about him. But one part that particularly kind of struck me, I guess, was just his friend Richard from over there, who said of how at a certain time Graham saw Alan and in that moment made a choice, a life-changing choice, that he wanted to spend the rest of his life with Alan. Our choices do have long-term consequences for us and for others. But as I thought about Graham too, I thought of a different choice that he also made. A choice to believe in God. A choice to believe that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life that he wanted to live by. And I very much kind of was reminded, when I think of Graham, of that passage in Galatians which talk about the fruit of the Spirit, of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And saw so many of those qualities in the way that Graham lived his life. But he could have chosen a different way. The New Testament reading in Matthew about that visit of Magi from the East, for me is a story that speaks of choice. Those Magi, having followed the star which stupidly led them to Jerusalem. If God can't organise a star to go where he wants it and people to find, I wonder. Anyway.
He said he didn't want it to go there.
Maybe he didn't. But this idea that these Magi had visited, had met Herod, and then at the end of the story, how, having been asked by Herod to return to Jerusalem so that they could tell Herod where this child was born, they made a different choice. They could make the choice of going back King Herod's way, or to go home by a different way, to follow a different path. And they chose a different path. When I look at our world today, I see that same choice, that same dilemma facing us as individuals and in the world. And it seems to me that too was a choice that faced Jesus through his life and through his ministry. Which way shall I travel? Which route will I take? We see it in the story of the temptations, where Jesus is challenged, asked, well, do it this way, and it all come nice and easy. Do it this way, everyone will bow down and worship you. Do it this way, you'll have all this power and all this might. And Jesus rejects those ways. We see it in the long-distance conversation that he has with John the Baptist, who's in prison, who sends his followers to Jesus to say, "Are you the one? Because you ain't doing what I'm expecting you to be doing, or what many of us were expecting of you. We were expecting you to come as a mighty warrior, as someone who would challenge the might of Rome and throw them out that we might have our..." And Jesus said, "No, but I am the one, because what I'm here doing is changing people's worlds. By love, by caring, by responding to people's needs, by reaching out, by telling all that they are welcome, that they are included, that they are worthy, because they are all loved." Jesus has made a choice to reject the ways of a power that bullies its way to popularity, if you can bully your way to popularity, but has chosen love as being the way. In our carol service at Hove last year, we kind of really struggled to call last year when it's 4 days ago, don't you? The most memorable part of that service for me was something that Stella did, Stella Goddard. Because I'd asked her to do a bit of a reflection in the service, as well as Paul Richards. And Stella walked up to the lectern and she just was reflecting on King Herod through the eyes of Donald Trump. It was stunning. It was stunning because of how just good it was in terms of the way that she just had got those things, you know, of how he built all these wonderful things, including this, the biggest and the best of everything. But it was stunning too, because it so made people think about the ways of King Herod and what we were seeing with Donald Trump. The challenge is there for us. When we think about what has happened in Venezuela and to its president, we might well be, in a sense, echoing some of the ways that Keir Starmer is reacting, is saying, well, actually, we didn't really want him in power, but we're not sure if we've done this the right way. We know that, in a sense, good things can come from bad deeds. But is that a good enough reason to do something bad? I think of the dilemma that Dietrich Bonhoeffer had during the Second World War. Is it right for us to try and get rid of Hitler? Or is that a bad thing for us to be contemplating in the way of assassination? These dilemmas do not go away. It seems to me that Jesus did show us that for him, love was the way and the choice that he was to make. And it seems to me that is the only way that does make sense. Because a bully, I don't think, will ever truly be loved. A bully will always be feared, hated, even if seemingly they get their own way again and again. My struggle with all of this, I guess, is that in a world where for 20, 30, 40 years we've been talking in education, we've been talking in all sorts of arenas. We see it in civil service, we see it in government, we see it everywhere. Bullies are meant to be called out, challenged, told that what they're doing is wrong. But to find the bravery to do that. If you're a woman being bullied in a relationship, if you're a child being abused by someone in your family, how difficult to call it out, to challenge, when your life is dominated by fear. What trust can you have in those who are around you, or in those who have any authority? One of my favourite passages in Scripture is in Colossians, in chapter 3. It's one that I often actually use at weddings. In chapter 3 of Colossians, it talks about different ways. In the first part of the chapter, it says, "Put to death whatever in you is earthly. Fornication, impurity, passion, evil, desire and greed, which is idolatry." Put those away. And then later on it says, "As God's chosen ones, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. And above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." Two different ways. Which will we choose? Will we choose to get our own way, come what may? Or will we choose the route, the way that Jesus showed us, the way that Jesus lived? That's a choice for us, and a choice we have to make each and every day, in small things and in big moments too. And as people who call ourselves follower of Jesus, it's something that we have to show to the world in the choices that we make, in the way that we are, both as individuals and as community. This morning, as we were seeing off the Coat of Hopes on its next stage of its travels, there were a number of the people who were going to walk with that coat today, who came and spoke to me, and I'm sure they spoke to others too, of how they felt the warm hospitality and the openness of this place. Who sensed in the way that they had been welcomed and the coat had been welcomed, that this was a place of inclusion, a place of love. We see it in the banner that proclaims us as a church and a circuit of sanctuary. We see it in the work that Heather does as an HIV chaplain and the links that has with Lunch Positive. We see it in Open House, where all are welcome. We've made those choices, and we must continue to make those choices. Because by our lives as individuals and community, God will be judged by others. God will be judged. It's why I'm really kind of struggling with this idea of being judgmental about Donald Trump. Because that seems to me I'm falling into a trap which I shouldn't be. And yet standing up against evil seems to me a choice we have to make again and again, and calling that out. And if we do not do that, then who will? And if we do not, as followers of Jesus, what does that say about Jesus and the God that we worship? They are judged by the way that we live and people's judgments of us. St. Teresa of Avila reminded us in the 14th century, God has no hands but our hands to do his work today. God has no feet but our feet to lead others in his way. God has no voice but our voice to tell others how he died. And God has no help but our help to lead him, to lead them to his side. God's hands, God's feet, God's voice, God's ears. May we use them wisely. May we show others the way of love, the ways of God. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to sing, As with Gladness, Men of Old.